Oh, we have so much to talk about on this Sunday with our Powerhouse Roundtable.
Let's give you some introductions first. Jessica Fernandez is Director of Public Affairs at AI Advisory, also Chair of the Miami Young Republicans. Chris Smith is an attorney with the Tripp Scott Law Firm in Fort Lauderdale and a former state senator from Fort Lauderdale. Melba Pearson is the Deputy Director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Florida, and before that, a prosecutor with the Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office. Welcome, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad you're here. Now, if we can, we need to take a moment here to acknowledge the life and service of George Herbert Walker Bush, President of the United States, 41, as he liked to be known. And I've just got to say, Melba, no matter what your party, I think we all can acknowledge that he was just an exceptionally decent guy and a great patriot.
Yes, I mean, he served in the armed forces, I believe World War II. He was one of the last
20 years old, a pilot. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And now he's reunited with the love of his life. So, you know, definitely my condolences to the family.
Condolences and eulogies in a time for what is a man, the last of his generation, in a time of a very different political atmosphere.
I met him when I was a middle schooler and he was vice president. I met him
a couple years ago, you mean?
A couple of years ago at the Omni Hotel in Miami, and through the years, and then when I served in the legislature and Jeb was the governor, and he'd come. Just gracious from the first day I met him to the last time I met him. Just a gracious person.
Jessica, can I tell way in here.
Yeah, way in here.
I mean, you know, what an amazing family, the Bush family. I never had a chance to meet 41, but I did get a chance to meet, obviously, Governor Bush and Jebby. And just through them, you could see what a legacy the Bush family has. Commitment to this country, service, loyalty. So rest in peace.
May I say you are wearing Barbara Bush style pearls today.
Not an accident.
Can I just tell a very brief kind of personal anecdote? In 1988, after he won the election, he and Barbara flew to West Palm Beach, and then they were going to drive up to a friend's house up in a real expensive, wonderful community up near Jupiter. And I was there with a lot of reports, but standing on the tarmac, and as their limousine pulled away, I looked in the rear window. You could see Mr. and Mrs. Bush there, President-elect Bush and Barbara, and she reached over and ruffled his hair.
Aww.
And it was a sweet moment. It's one of those moments where I said to myself, boy, that tells you a lot about what kind of a relationship these two have.
Absolutely.
In another election style news, Chris Smith, you heard attorney Bernadette Norris Weeks here and all the machinations going on now with the Broward Supervisor of Election. Weigh in for us on what do you think about
this? I think it's unfortunate what Governor Scott did. I've worked with Governor Scott for years, and I've never seen him get this personal. You had a person who had resigned.
Was this vindictive?
And was, there's nothing less than vindictive. This is punching someone in the head on the way out the door.
But vindication for what?
I don't know. I think he's just, he's from the time of the election, and you saw all of his rhetoric during the recount. I've just never seen this side of him, and it's ridiculous. And now he's created more of an issue by doing this. If he wanted to put Pete in, who's a very good lawyer, I've worked with Pete for years.
Pete Antonacci.
If he wanted to put him in, there are ways to do it. But to suspend her when she's leaving in less than a month, now, as you see, she's rescinded, and now it's created an issue when an issue was going to resolve itself.
Yeah, Jessica, why do you think the governor, I mean, here on November 18th, Dr. Snipes had submitted her resignation, acknowledged, in a sense, implicitly that she, and she said, yes, I've made some mistakes and I'm going to go out, and I had 15 good years. Suddenly she gets suspended. This is within the governor's right to do so. But why do you think he did?
I don't know what's in the governor's mind, but I think that there was an appetite for accountability for a repeated amount of failures. I think, you know, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, all voters that voted in that election in Broward, you know, they were left dissatisfied with the process, not knowing clearly what the entire count was. There was a number of issues, and I'm not sure what the motivation is behind it, other than perhaps accountability. You know, setting a precedent that this is not appropriate. Maybe it's a little too late. But you know.
That actually, and a lot of it is spelled out. The governor's reasons are spelled out in his executive order. But if you heard Melba, Bernadette Norris Weeks was talking about the timing of it, 5:30 on a Friday.
Right.
As this court appeal was going through, and there is nothing about that in the EO. Is that, as an attorney, is that strange to you?
That was definitely a specific tactic, doing that kind of in the cover of darkness. But for me, I'm looking at more of the overall issues that we saw in this election. And it's not just Broward. I think we need to be looking at what problems occurred throughout the state so that in our next elections, which are right around the corner, we can make sure we don't have polling places and gating communities where folks can't get access, you know, excessive long lines, no standardization with vote by mail ballots. I mean, these are issues that we need to be concerned with. So instead of being vindictive and trying to attack one supervisor of elections, let's look and make sure that all supervisors of elections have standards to follow and we're doing unified voting throughout the state of Florida.
And those aren't Broward specific. The
Correct.
Things that you just mentioned
at all.
Happen all around the state. Right. Mm-hmm. So instead of causing such an uproar about something in just Broward, I think we should look at statewide normalizing some of the stuff and standardizing some of the things.
Yeah, Chris. You know, you said you know Peter Antonacci.
Yes.
He has been Governor Scott's go-to guy for several years.
Yeah.
He was his general counsel. He's been running Enterprise Florida. Then he had been executive director of the South Florida Water Management District. But in my point of view, and forgive me, it's a little opinionated here, it is the round table after all. When he took over the South Florida Water Management District, he stripped it, well, number one, accepted hundreds of millions of dollars in tax cuts for all the water management districts, got rid of scientists, water quality specialists, and then he encouraged a bunch of toadies from the governor to get on the board.
Well, see, now you're speaking my wife's language. My wife is an assistant city manager, and whenever there's flooding, she points to some of the things that the South Florida Water Management have done, how they've cut the budget, how they've cut personnel, and that contributes to a lot of our flooding. I've known Pete as a lawyer from being in the legislature, and he was the governor's lawyer, but not running an agency in that way. But you're right. With what happened at South Florida Water Management District, and every day when it rains here, you can see some of the ramifications of just the slashing and slash and burn.
More roundtable when we come right back. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. What a roundtable we have got going with some really great guests. And let's button up the Brenda Snipes a part of this. And Melba Pearson, you know, Ms. Snipes, whether she did well or not in the last couple of years, I frankly think that she did not do so well, but she worked hard. She has a pension, $71,000 is to be coming to her, and it looks like the governor's action may put that in jeopardy. Would you find that unfair?
I think that was unnecessary. Again, she acknowledged that her office made mistakes. She resigned her position. The room is clear for someone else to come in.
Yeah.
And again, look at the systemic issues, not only in Broward County, but throughout the state. I don't think that that was necessary.
Chris made a really good point. It's the Senate that actually has to
do it. He has temporarily removed her. It has to go to the state Senate now.
Right.
And the Senate Rules Committee and Ethics and Elections Committee, and my good friend Senator Perry Thurston will be sitting on that.
Yeah.
And so you'll get more of a hearing, and she'll get a chance to respond and get a chance for some back and forth in the Florida Senate.
And the Senate is a much more collegial body than the Florida House. And yet I don't see any appetite for, if this gets to the Senate or when it gets there, for her to get the kind of support she needs. I think this is sort of like a losing battle for her.
Yeah, well, I've sat on some of those, and I've served on the Ethics Committee, and we've had to look at some of the removals and whether it's permanent or not. And it's kind of the other way. The Senate is very rarely will keep someone out of their position. They'll look at any kind of way of not to just throw someone out of a position.
But she resigned the position.
She's rescinded her resignation now.
Yeah.
Right, but the fact that she was leaving the position, I mean,
right.
she's ready to retire for whatever
she's
her
ready.
Reasons mm-hmm. are. So how will that play in that Senate?
I mean, that will play out. But when you have someone like Thurston who's from Broward and you have Broward members really fighting for it, because of that collegial body, I don't see them really going hard at her because she will have an advocate yeah. sitting there for her.
All right, I want to kind of change focus. Let's move on to, I sure. think, a really extraordinary investigative series done by the Miami Herald, Julie Brown, edited by Casey Frank, called Perversion of Justice. It's been out on the yeah. web for the last 2 days, but it's in the paper today. And bottom line for South Florida, Jessica, is Alex Acosta, the former U.S. attorney here, former dean of the law school at FIU, Secretary of Labor, when he was the U.S. attorney, it's kind of indisputable. He okayed a sweetheart deal with a convicted, now convicted, perverted sexual wealthy, a billionaire from Palm Beach County, who had a parade of girls, 14, 15, 16, coming to his house, you know, every day, and he would assault them sexually. And Alex Acosta signed off on this non-prosecution deal. It does not speak well for Mr. Acosta.
No, I don't think that it speaks well, not just for, I don't think it speaks well for the system in general.
Criminal
to know
justice system,
that,
yeah.
you know, you have victims, minors, that have been sex trafficked or prostituted,
yeah.
and, you know, this man, this criminal, got away pretty clean.
13 months
That's
in the
nothing.
Stockade in Palm Beach County, where he was out 12 hours a day. Chris, have you ever heard of anything like that?
No. I mean, to have this kind of sentencing and non-prosecution, I mean, it's an affront to the criminal justice system. When you look at, go to the courthouse each day and see people with much lesser crimes getting much lesser time, but it goes into more of our justice system in which, you know, it's kind of not even racial as much, but more economics.
Yeah.
If you have the economics to get away with it, you're getting away with it.
I'm going to disagree in part on that. I think this, as a former prosecutor, I can tell you that this is completely unacceptable. And it lays bare the issues of race in this country, mm-hmm. because trust and believe, if this was an African-American man of moderate means, he wouldn't be in jail. He'd be under the jail for this crime.
Bill Cosby's name?
I do.
Can
I do. Yes.
Before you, I want you to react to something you're about to see. Senator Marco Rubio, we were at an event, and I had asked him about that. The senator was an early and very big supporter of Alex Acosta. He was here as the dean of the FIU Law School. And I asked him, you know, what he thought of this series that shows what a deal then attorney Acosta made in this case. And here is what he had to say.
Now, why that deal was offered, whether it was his decision or whether it was a Department of Justice decision to offer him that in exchange for something that we don't know about, testimony on unrelated matters, I don't know the answer to it. There's probably more to it than what you've seen.
Jessica, the senator says, hey, there may be another side to this story.
I had not seen the senator's comment, but that was the questions that were raised in my mind when I was reading part of the series was, this was really far along. There was all these documents that were already for prosecution, then all of a sudden it gets taken away. So in my mind, I want to know, it wasn't Acosta. Acosta's name was on there. It was wrong of him to do that. But who is above that decision? I want to know. I'm sure that the Herald is going to continue to do a thorough investigation. I want them to dig deeper. There's a lot more questions than answers, yeah. I think, here. There's people that have been protected, I think. Their names couldn't come out. They have
via this deal.
Well, it's far from over, and right. Julie Brown and her editors are mm-hmm. on the case, and we will follow it. All right, stay with us. We'll be back with more Roundtable in just a minute.
Welcome back to the speed reading version of our last Roundtable segment. Great to have Nikki Fried, the Agriculture Commissioner-elect, here with us today. And I think right off the bat, when she gets sworn in, she's going to be facing yeah. this issue of what to do with the concealed weapons yeah. permitting process. Chris Smith, where should that go?
You know, and I hate to be partisan, but I'd like it to stay with her. I think with what's been going on.
Now, she says she doesn't want it to be partisan.
I know, and it should, but it should stay with her. And at least fix it. Fix the process before you hand it off to someone. Hand it off to FDLE with the way it's broken now, and it's clearly been shown to be broken. Mm-hmm. At least fix it first before she hands it off. But I think she'll do a good job, even though she's a Gator. I'm still hurting from last week, so I had to sneak that in.
Jessica, Marion Hammer of the NRA in Florida, powerful figure, says that she thinks Jimmy Patronis, the chief financial officer, ought to be taking control of the concealed weapons permit. And this is clearly a political play on Marion Hammer's part. And where do you think it should go?
Listen, I kind of agree with Chris. I mean, I think that voters voted for her because they mm-hmm. wanted her to oversee this particular process.
Right.
And I think that there's many legitimate arguments that could be made to moving it to the FDLE. Very valid, and I could sit here and maybe agree with some of them, but ultimately I think the voters want someone that they could point to as accountable, and having it through FDLE kind of has this a little bit more nebulous. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that they all look at the FDLE, but I think we need to maybe ask the FDLE for guidance, but I think ultimately the voters would like for this to stay within the Agriculture Department. I think that might be the most appropriate.
Yep, the FDLE actually does the background checks and then turns them over to Ag, which sounds like bureaucracy to me, does it not?
Right, I mean, that definitely would be cutting out one extra step if it resided with the FDLE. But again, I mean, if it's within her purview, let her review and see what can be improved, what can be changed. You know, we still have to look at, especially in the fallout from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, the easy access to assault mm-hmm. weapons, you know, for young people and, you know, for other folks who probably
actually goes to the whole issue of all of those thousands of permits that
Correct.
Went unreviewed. Mm-hmm. Although Adam Putnam has said that, you know, he's reviewed it and there was no one with mental illnesses or felony backgrounds that actually received weapons and permits because of the glitch.
But we started talking about accountability of elected officials. She was just elected to do that job. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather see her do that job before handing it off and fixing it.
Yeah. I agree.
In the 30 seconds that are left, I just want to take a second and salute your friend and colleague and boss at the ACLU of Florida, Howard Simon, who is leaving, was it Friday?
He left on Friday,
On Friday, well,
yes.
Heck of a guy.
He's on the golf course.
Effective,
relaxing.
And a really decent person, and we will wish him well in whatever he does.
44 years of service to civil rights and civil liberties in
we
this country.
We have never known ACLU Florida without Howard Simon.
And a way to go out by passing Amendment 4.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a great party retirement gift.
Exactly.
So hard on that.
All right,
yeah.
So thank you all. Great roundtable. When
you.
We come back.